This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Man, I love Overcast. I gotta tell you, that new Apple's podcast app is terrible, and Overcast rules. I'm enjoying that app very much so. But here we are! The Capitals are into the regular season, finally. They have played four games so far, and they are 2-1-1. We've seen a little bit of everything. And joining me, as always, to talk about the Caps, what they're up to, how they look, all that good stuff, is Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm feeling good. It is good to have Caps hockey back on my TV, and I gotta say, these first four games, they've been a lot of fun to watch. This season with the Capitals, you really don't know what to expect from this team because it's so different than teams in the past. So, starting off, we've kind of seen like a wide range of the Caps this year so far, and what they can do. What are your thoughts after the first four games?
My thoughts are pretty much my reaction. I'm not really sure what I'm seeing at this point. I think that they have moments where they're playing quite well and brilliant. And if you look at that first period against Montreal, that's something to look at. But then you see games like, again, third period against Tampa where you're playing poorly. Or the first two and a half periods against Pittsburgh where you're not really doing enough to be able to come out with a win. And it's sort of hit or miss depending on the players, depending on the games. And I'm not sold on this team at this point, that this is a team that can make a real run for a cup.
Okay, I mean, that's understandable. We're four games in. I get that. But I got to say, I am a bit impressed with these younger players. Now, there are some, Aaron Ness, who is struggling a bit. But, like, Nathan Walker, the pickup of Alex Chiasson, I've been impressed somewhat from these guys so far, from the little we've seen. I was worried. That preseason, man, that was really rough to watch. I mean, they looked absolutely lethargic and terrible. I'm like, this is going to be a long season. But, man, after these first four games, I'm like, you know what? Okay. They got some work to do. Absolutely. But I think this will be a fun team to watch in the year. I like these young guns, seeing how they develop. Is there anybody on the young roster that has impressed you so far?
Nope.
No? Nobody?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I think the biggest thing we need to do in terms of the young guys is to temper our expectations and understand that they're going to go through struggles. I've been impressed with Verona's speed and his ability to see the ice, but he's got to get his hands, his arms, and stick moving a little faster to keep up with the play because he's had a couple opportunities to get a goal, and we haven't seen it just yet. I like the energy that we saw from Nathan Walker. He got a goal with a puck that I think went off his butt, so that's always a nice way to score a goal.
Your first NHL goal off the butt? Why not?
First NHL goal off your butt. So congratulations to him on that. And I really like what I was actually seeing from Christian Juice last night in terms of some of that offensive flair.
Right. It was his first game, his first shot, and his first goal all in one.
There you go. That sounds done. Now, like I was saying, the biggest thing is for us to sort of keep our expectations for these guys down a little bit so that they have an opportunity to actually go through some of the growing pains that we're naturally going to see. So guys like Rana, Juice, and Walker, we got to give them some time before we're like, these guys are the best. But I think Juice, you know, he certainly has played well, and they're going to find times where they're out of the lineup, and we saw Walker didn't play against the Penguins. And I was a bit surprised that Juice got his first game against them, but he seemed to be all right holding his own. I mean, that third pairing of Chorny and Ness, not pretty.
No, no.
And so I wasn't too surprised to see that that Juice got to come in and that they sort of switched up the pairings, because I'm thinking that we might see Madison Bowie sooner rather than later.
There's a very good chance we see that, but I want to stick with at least the offense right now. You covered a lot of ground there. I want to talk about Jakub Vrána. We talked a lot about this guy. I mean, you gave him your What the Pucky last year for Goal of the Year. He's been a guy that everyone's been talking about, and I got to say, of being unimpressed, he's kind of the one that has the most pressure on him, and I haven't been incredibly impressed with him. He's definitely got some speed, and he's got some, you know, he's got wheels underneath him. But overall, I mean, he definitely is showing that he is a rookie. Yeah, he might be a top sixer at one point, but right now, I don't know if it's good for him to be in that top six role.
I think he's able goal scoring wise, he hasn't done it yet. But I think he's able to hold his own physicality. I think he's able to cycle the puck with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. And I think it just takes a while for them to all be on the same page where they're not really having to talk quite as much, and it's more of a feel to it. So I think you keep him there for a while longer and see how he does. I think he's going to come around and be able to play better. But I'm not throwing him out just yet. I think there's definitely a quality player there. And you might see some time where he maybe is on the second or third line just to sort of ease things up a little bit. But I think this guy's – he's going to be a mainstay in the top six.
Well, I think he may miss a couple games. I don't know. It's kind of interesting with Wilson coming back. Wilson missed the first four games due to a suspension. Alex Chyzon, I think it's Chyzon, he's played in his place, and he's looked pretty good. I found out that he was a student at BU, and I have a connection with BU. I asked about him. He said solid third, fourth line guy, definitely a grinder. So he might walk into that role. So I'm kind of wondering, you think potentially we could see maybe Tom Wilson take Verana's spot and have Verana kind of sit and not play a game or two? Kind of like
Wilson in the top six?
No, I don't. But I'm wondering, Alex Chyzon has done well. I think I've said his last name three different ways so far.
I'm impressed.
Have him in like the third line, have Wilson in maybe your top six, and have Verana sit for a couple games, because that seemed to work for Burakovsky last year. And we got to talk about Burakovsky as well. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because I think Verana kind of does need one of those take a break, watch from the press box, learn a little bit something, because – yeah, it's only four games. I'm not saying they're going to do this right away, but I'm saying, you know, he might be one of those guys that does need a little bit more time to adjust.
I mean, it's possible. I do think we're going to find time. You'll see time, depending on how things are going, that he may find himself up in the press box or on a down a line or two, just to give an opportunity to see things differently. But he's got 3 points in four games, given they're all assists. He's a plus three right now. He's got seven shots on goal. So I still think he's going to get some more time on that first line or second line. He's going to be there for a while.
I mean, yeah, four games. I'm not saying do it immediately, but I definitely can see
Bench him.
I can see Barry Trotz doing that maybe in a month or so, just to get a little bit more out of him. Now we got to talk about Andre Burakovsky. Barry Trotz came out and said the kid's got to shoot more on the net. We need more goals from him. We need more production from him. I 100% agree. What is your thoughts on Burakovsky so far this season?
Bench him too. I'm just kidding. He's got two assists in four games. He's a plus one. Not that I really care about plus minus. He's finally got four shots, so I need to see. I want to see some more shots from Burakovsky. They may not go in, but I want to see him putting the effort up there. And
right.
I'll put it this way: Carlson has got 12 shots. So currently, this team has got Ovechkin's got 25. Carlson's got the second with 12. Then you have Oshie with 9. Verana with 7. Brett Connolly, Lars Eller have more shots than Andre Burakovsky right now. That's a problem. I want to see more shots from Burakovsky. Kid's got talent. He's got the puck skills, but he's got to start putting the puck in the back of the net. And not to sound purposely stupid, but if you don't shoot, it's hard to score.
That's very true. I mean, that's the Alan May line of thinking, isn't it, for hockey players? You got to shoot the puck in order for it to get into the back of the net.
I think that's a good idea.
All right, so we talked a little bit about Tom Wilson. He's coming back.
He's still a dummy.
He's still a dummy. What do you expect from him in his first game this season?
Don't be a dumbass. How about that?
There's a good chance that he listens to you, but four games he's missed, he's probably going to be really excited and want to play and kind of, you know, get on the ice. But do you expect a different game from him?
He keeps hitting people like that. He might have to go play for the Skins because he ain't doing the Caps any good. I have high expectations of Tom Wilson, and that is sort of not his fault because that's what comes from being drafted in the first round. But then you also have those expectations because you're getting that money. You agreed to that contract, and yes, if someone offers you that kind of money, you're not going to turn it down. But now you need to start producing. You need to produce more offensively. And if you're not going to, then you're going to find yourself on the outside going to play. I was going to say outside looking in, but that's not going to be the case because you can't afford to bench him. You know, unless, of course, he gets suspended again. But then it might just be that they're looking to maybe move him out.
I mean, there is that potential. It's a different league, you know. I don't know how many people are looking for a bruiser goon type player like Tom Wilson, but Barry Trotz is looking for something different from him. I think we all are looking at him as not just a bruiser anymore. We need him to score goals. We need him to be a little bit more finesse than he has, and he can't make those dummy hits, so it's going to hurt the team. But I'm intrigued to see what he brings in New Jersey on Friday the 13th. I mean, he could be the new Jason Voorhees. I don't know. But I think...
the way he's playing sometimes, I wouldn't be surprised to see it.
Yeah, I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what he does on Friday. But Alex Ovechkin, man, it is crazy to see this guy play every single year. He lost 4 pounds in the offseason, and it shows, man. He's shedding the pounds, but he's got what, 8 goals already in the season? He's got 2 hat tricks in the first 2 games. First player in 100 years to do that. First 2 games of the season to get 2 hat tricks. Every year, I'm just blown away at how good this guy is.
I mean, helping him by switching back to CCM, I think it seems like he's more comfortable with that equipment, and it's what he was doing really well with earlier in his career, and it's working for him now because he's got 8 goals in 4 games. I mean, he's got over half of the Capitals' total goals so far, which then is a problem if no one else is scoring. But you got 8 goals and the team's got 15. You're doing something right. At least you are.
And there was a big thing. I think it was the GM, Brian McClellan, came out and said, you know, we're going to have to lean on Ovi a little bit more. With these young guys coming up, we don't know what they're doing. We're going to need to lean on him, and he's going to have to step up. And, I mean, it's, again, 4 games into the season, and Ovi's definitely stepping up. He's looking like the Ovi of old. He seems like he's having a great time out there. I think it's good for him to have these young players. You know, Ovi kind of, I said this last week, he kind of thrives in that big brother role.
I think to some extent. I think having Vrana out there, he's got a little bit of speed guy out there. And Vrana's not afraid, you know, you've seen him in front of the net. I think he's doing just fine. I think that lineup is working well, at least with Vrana and Kuznetsov out there. So I see no reason to mix it up right now. Let him keep doing what he's doing.
Absolutely. So anybody else you want to talk about on offense from these first 4 games that has impressed you? Backy still looking good, still being Backy.
Not so much.
No?
Well, I think the fact that – so Ovechkin and Kuznetsov are doing great. Ovechkin's got 8 goals, 0 assists in 4 games. Kuznetsov's got 8 assists, 0 goals in 4 games. Well, only 6 players have scored at this point. One of them was off of a butt. We know that with Nathan Walker. But you got Ovechkin with 8 goals. Oshie's got 3. Backstrom's got 1. Connolly's got 1. Juice's got 1. Walker's got 1. We got no goals from Kuznetsov, Vrana, Carlson. Eller's got nothing. Burakovsky, of course, he's not really shooting. It's hard to score when you don't shoot. We already talked about that. We need to see more of these guys stepping up and putting the puck at least on net, if not in the net. I mean, currently... Well, everybody's taken at least 1 shot, but Devontae Smith-Pelly has taken 1, which I think, would that count as the one that hit Walker in the butt?
It was going to be his goal.
I don't know. Would it have if it hadn't redirected off of Walker's ass? And then Aaron Ness has got 1 shot. Orpik's got 1 shot. You don't expect him to shoot, and Graevac's got 0. So I think the lack of production offensively from some of these guys is a little bit of a concern. We need more people to step up offensively. Especially on third and fourth line, because when teams have really good defenses, they're going to be able to stop your first 2 lines. The bottom 6 guys got to step up.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. So let's talk a little bit about defense here. Defense has struggled a little bit, to say the least. Loss of Nate Schmidt definitely is affecting the team, and having some of these young guys come out and veterans who really don't play that often. Taylor Chorney and Aaron Ness, that pairing I don't know how long we should keep with that pairing, because that seems a little dicey.
Yeah. No, thanks. No, thank you. No, they struggled. I remember it was... Ottawa? I think it was the game against Ottawa where he tried to go for the hip check a la Dmitry Orlov and just whiffed horribly.
Ooh.
And, you know, I mean, if you miss a hip check, you're taking yourself out of the play. So that was pretty bad. I haven't been impressed by Chorny or Ness. I think they had to switch up the defensive pairings against Pittsburgh because that wasn't working. I mean, this team was struggling mightily a bit defensively. Carlson's had a little bit of a slow start to the season. So it's this team... needs to wake up a bit defensively, and I think we're going to start seeing more of Christian Juice.
Yeah, he's definitely came out a little. He came out firing, and it's interesting to see that Barry Trotz held him out for so long, and then finally plays him, and he has a goal and an assist with Ovi, and that was a big thing. If you remember with Nate Schmidt, and Ovechkin worked very well together. It was there were a lot of assists from Schmidt to Ovi, so maybe Christian Juice is kind of stepping up in that role, but. These are young players.
He's the new Schmidt.
He could potentially be the new Schmidt. I don't know.
He also looks like he's like 12.
Yes, he definitely does look very very young. I feel very old watching him play. But speaking of Schmidt, did you catch the first Vegas game in Vegas?
No.
No, that I think it was Tuesday night. I want to say it was Tuesday night, and I had just finished doing a Ravens podcast, and I was flipping through the channels, and I was like, oh, okay, Vegas is on. That's pretty cool. Man, they came out firing. Vegas is looking like a legit team. I think – are they still undefeated at this point? Are they 4-0? They might be.
Yeah, we haven't played anybody good.
Oh, yeah. But, like, it was the environment with the fans in Vegas was fantastic. And, I mean, this is one of the – I think UFC had an event in Vegas over the weekend. So it's not the first one since the big tragedy that happened a couple weeks ago. But it was great to see Vegas cheering on their team and having such something to cheer for sports wise. And I mean, it was a really cool environment. Like I want to go check out a game in Vegas at some point in my lifetime, and hopefully we'll do that. But anyway, this is a Caps podcast. I'm getting away from myself here, talking about the Golden Knights.
We do that from time to time.
Right, we do trail off a bit. Yeah, so Brooks Orpik, he was given a bigger role. He was playing. He's scheduled to play more minutes than he did last year. How do you think he's done in the first four games with this bigger role?
It seems that he's been relatively solid. He's he's not the fastest guy. He's in fact he's quite slow, but he's a solid defensive player. He's going to knock guys around a bit. He's just not very fast. In a league that's focusing more and more on speed, that's going to be a problem. When your defenseman looks like he's trying to skate in snow, so it's excuse me. I think he's the right kind of guy you want on the team. I just think he's not quick enough, and he's getting older to the point where his mistakes he can't cover as well as he used to be. And so I think that in time, this team is going to have some trouble with the fact that he's still on the roster and getting the amount of minutes that they're going to be giving him.
It's not like Jagr, who can just continue to play until he's like 80.
Yeah, screw that guy.
yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to see what Brooks Orpik can do, but I don't know. He had a better season. He had some good stats last year, but he also wasn't on the ice as often. So I mean, with given a bigger role, I know he's a veteran. They can expect him to do that, but I just don't know if he can. So. We should have a better answer maybe in a month or so when there's been a couple games going on. But let's talk goaltending. Braden Holtby, still great. Philip Grubauer, still pretty good. This guy is just waiting to be a number one goaltender. Grubauer had a fantastic showing. Didn't get the support, I don't think, from the defense in Tampa Bay. But Grubauer looked fantastic. I mean, we're kind of lucky to have such a two-headed monster, really, in the goaltending net.
Yeah, Grubauer did well in his game. I think the Caps in that one were just kind of lackadaisical in the third to some extent. I mean, my father told me years ago we were at a game, and he used to play and coach hockey. He said, usually you find road teams, third period, towards the end, they'll start to shut down defensively and not really produce as much offensively as they try and run out the game if they're winning to be able to come out with a road win. And you saw that from the Caps to some extent at the beginning of the third period, which is just a little bit early to be trying something like that. I think they let Tampa back in the game by easing up.
100%.
At one point, I felt like it was Tampa had, like, I don't know, 12 or 15 shots in the third period, and the Caps had, like, 30. And you're like, hey, that's not a good idea, especially when they started scoring. So I think Grubauer got kind of hung out to dry there. I don't put that loss on him, but I think he's like you said, he's a very good goalkeeper, and he's waiting to be a number one. I think someone's going to take a shot on him, whether it's this year or in the offseason. And maybe we can trade him for Nate Schmidt. And then I think it will be important for this team to be prepared to have to go with someone else in the near future. And then there's Holpe, and he's just amazing.
All right, so of course in the first four games, we have the first matchup between the Capitals and the Penguins. And it was the first rivalry night to be on NBC, and it's our first chance to see Pierre. And that really sucked. But there was one specific play, and that was everybody's favorite crybaby, Sidney Crosby, hitting Braden Holpe up high in the face, in the mask, and would you imagine that? No ref call. Did you see this hit? What's your thoughts on it?
That's a penalty. It is a shoulder-to-head hit. That's a penalty.
But you're forgetting
anyone else
who it was.
That's a penalty. I think so. It's part of it. It wasn't like a really big hit, so that's part of the. It could be the other reason that they decided not to do it to make it a penalty. But that's a penalty. You can't hit someone in the head, especially the goalie.
Yeah, and Holpe, he didn't.
And like, it wasn't supposed to be a big deal. Sorry, but it's just like, hey, that's 2 minutes in the box, and we move on.
Well, the golden boy. You know, there were the golden boys in our college when we were in college that could get away with everything. Sidney Crosby's the golden boy of the NHL, and he gets a pass for this kind of stuff. But Braden Holpe, when talking to the media after the game, he was not shy about saying he did not like that hit, and that was a penalty, and that the refs let him get away with it. So I kind of like the fact that Holpe kind of called the refs out for it.
Well, I'm sure they'll be happy to give him calls now.
That's true. I was, you know what, I was actually listening. It's funny you bring that up. I was listening to the lockout song that we played so many years ago when the lockout was going on. I forget what player it was. He was talking about Bettman and how much he's ruined the game and done nothing for the game, and now he doesn't play hockey anymore. So, I mean, you badmouth the refs or whatever or any of the NHL officials, it's like the Godfather, man. They will take you out.
And don't mess with those guys.
Anything,
I'll come get you.
All right, so anything else we should talk about in Caps world?
Probably my computer's acting weird, and I don't know where it went. Hold
on. Well, I got to tell you, it was pretty
cool.
What is
my computer's? Oh, yeah, actually, you know what? We kind of said it before, but again, congratulations to Christian Juice and Nathan Walker for getting their first goals in the bad timing, National Hockey League. I thought that was that's pretty cool for them.
Very cool for them. Good for fans. The Washington Capitals are the first team, sports team, to have their own Alexa skill on the Amazon Echo. So you can say all this different kind of stuff. Hey, Alexa, what's the cap score? Or you can actually say, tell the Capitals to unleash the fury. And they play Unleash the Fury on there. So I tried it out last night, and it's actually pretty cool. Do you have an Echo?
I do, and I couldn't get it to work. I mean, I can get the thing to work. I can get Alexa to work. I just can't get it to – it wouldn't do the Caps thing. And I downloaded everything. I don't know what the problem was.
So we're just going to say user error.
So I – probably. I was like, Alexa, do – and I said the thing. And she was like, would you like to download it? And I was like, no! Do you want me to look up? No! Just play the stupid thing so that I can go back to watching TV.
Well, I want to take partial credit for the Caps to have an Alexa app, because I tweeted to John Walton and said that I synced up my Amazon Echo with the NBC playoff game so I could listen to John Walton's calling the game instead of the idiots at NBC. And I think that the Caps kind of got like, ooh, Look, people can do this, and they have these by their televisions. They can sync it up and listen to us all the time.
Yeah, I had to move my way from the TV, because every time an Alexa commercial would come on, it'd be like, bloop, and I'd be like, slow down.
All right, there's also a wrestler named Alexa Bliss. When she has a match, my Amazon Echo goes crazy. She's like, I'm sorry, I don't know how to drop kick someone.
Yeah, well, that's probably good, because you don't have any arms or legs.
You got everybody out there, ask if you have an Echo, ask Alexa if she can smell what The Rock is cooking. That's a fun one. Also, something else I thought of, we got to talk about the prices for the outdoor game in Annapolis, Maryland were released. And just to let everyone know, you have to be really rich to enjoy this game. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be enjoying this game from my couch.
Yeah, was it $115 for the cheapest seats?
The cheapest seats, and that's before all of the Ticketmaster charges that just kind of show up.
And again. Shipping.
Well, you can't download them. Just download them. Just print them.
No, I don't know. I was just reading the thing from, I think, Russian Machine.
Yeah, yeah. I took my goddaughter to Disney on Ice, and I went on the first night when they were $15, and I got four tickets, you know, 4 times 15. That should be about $60, and I left Ticketmaster spending $110 in special charges. So that's not cheap. So, hey, if anybody wants to gift me those, let's start up a Patreon page, and you guys can send us money to send us to the outdoor game. How's that sound?
Sounds like we're going to be enjoying it from our couches.
Yeah. Couches rule. I can wear my slippers while watching the game. My cap slippers.
I don't need to know that.
You don't have cap slippers? Come on. Where's your hat?
I don't know. Not on wearing slippers, I guess.
Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, guys. Well, the Hershey Bears, they've started playing, and we're going to talk about them when we go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Fuck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, Hershey fell in their season opener to Lehigh Valley. Not the best way to start the season, but they still got plenty of games left to play. They'll be back at it on Saturday for their home opener against Belleville, followed by a home game against Lehigh Valley on Sunday. Now, there's nothing really to report from South Carolina at the moment. Their season starts on October 20th. That's what's going on down on the farm.
That's right. South Carolina, they announced what their opening team roster, but other than that, there's really not much going on in South Carolina. Not a good showing for Hershey, man. 7-2.
It's a little embarrassing.
That is not a good way to start the season, especially when you have a goalie like Phoenix Copley in there. I mean, he should be an NHL-ready goalie. I mean, who knows the support he had at defense or whatever, but still, 7 goals to allow. Man, that sucks.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's pretty much it for the show this week. The Caps and Bears are staying busy. Let's see, the South Carolina Stingrays, they're getting there. Their season's almost about to start. But if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And, Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
And you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals stuff, as well as some Skins when they're playing, if I feel like watching. We'll see how the Nats are doing tonight. Talking a lot of European football.
What about
Arsenal?
What about USA soccer?
Oh, choking horribly.
Oh, sorry about
they
that.
They will not be in the next World Cup, and that is a flat-out embarrassment.
Well, at least, like, you know, people around here can stop pretending to like soccer.
Okay, first of all, that doesn't include me because it's a fantastic game, so you shut up. That's number one. Number two, it is a complete embarrassment that they did not make the World Cup, and the fact that game against Trinidad and Tobago, and they just, like, didn't even try. at all, it seemed like, for some of these players. They're going to need – I'm not going to blow it up, obviously, but there is a whole hell of a lot of work to do before the next World Cup, before the next Copa America or the next Gold Cup. There's going to be – I mean, you got to go with some more youth guys. I mean, they're going to get a new coach, I have to imagine, as well as a new head of the U.S. Soccer Federation. I mean, it's embarrassing. It is pretty freaking embarrassing.
Again, I'm not a big soccer fan, but I got to say the Copa America games, I had a good time watching those. They were fun.
That's because it's a great game, Brandon. It's a great game.
I already watched too many sports, so I'll get to it when I can.
No such thing. But yeah, that's Twitter at WTPCarSham. But hey, if you're enjoying the show, you should also check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Check us out over there. Get updates on the show as well as all sorts of other Capitals related things that we feel like sending out there because it's fun. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
So you can go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment, and go over to whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com for an archive of all of our old podcasts. So let's just say the Capitals go on a little losing skid in the season, and you want to hear some happier times. That's where you can hear some of our older shows and some of the fun that we've had in the past. So check it out there. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Be social with the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. On Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees and the Capitals are heading up to New Jersey, right by Crystal Lake, to take on those Devils. That game is at 7 o'clock. All right, so Coach Dan, New Jersey, that's the site of Camp Crystal Lake. Do you have a favorite Friday the 13th movie?
No, because I've seen, like, maybe two of them.
Really?
I'm not as into horror films.
All right. I'm having the hardest time trying to find somebody who likes horror movies. I've asked all
these... okay. It's just like, I didn't see them until I was older, so it wasn't, like, scary. It was kind of stupid.
Right. Amazon Prime had the first six Friday the 13th movies on Prime for free. So I watched them over the summer, and I watched the first seven. I think I watched the first seven on there, and then they went away. And I watched Friday the 13th Part 8 about a week ago, Jason Takes Manhattan. I forgot how bad of a movie that was. But
you couldn't tell by the title?
I mean, that was like, you know...
He Takes Manhattan. Ooh.
They had so many plans for that. Like, Jason was going to take L.A. He was going to take every major city after that. But that movie just tanked so hard. Jason's only in Manhattan for 20 minutes. Spoilers. But
he can do anything in Manhattan in 20 minutes.
And they took a cruise ship from Crystal Lake in Jersey to Manhattan, which is just the dumbest thing. But I have two left in the original... Yeah, I have two left in the original series. I have Jason Goes to Hell, and I have Jason X, Jason in Space. And I am so excited to watch Jason X, because Jason in Space just sounds like the dumbest premise. I cannot wait to watch this movie. That's what maybe I'll be doing that after the Caps beat the Devils on Friday the 13th. So was watching those two movies. But all right, anyway, this is a little bit of a road trip up the East Coast. So they stop off in Jersey, and then they go to Philadelphia on the way home to D.C. Caps are up against the Flyers, seeing them for the first time this year in Philadelphia at 7 o'clock. That's on NBC Sports nationally and NBC Sports Washington locally here. And then on Tuesday, the 17th, the Caps are back home in D.C. up against those Maple Leafs from Toronto that gave them such a hard time in the first round. That game is on NBC Sports Washington at 7 o'clock. Get to see Austin Matthews once again. Toronto, they are going to be a force to be reckoned with this year, I think. And New Jersey, too. New Jersey's looked fantastic in the preseason.
It's early.
What's that?
It's early.
It's early, but I think this game on the 13th is going to be a little bit of a wrecking ball for the Caps. Good thing Tom Wilson's back for this first game, but New Jersey, Philadelphia.
He gets suspended again.
I'm back and he's gone. So Jersey, Philadelphia, and Toronto is the next stretch of games until we talk again. All three should be great games. Again, early in the season, you really don't know what to expect. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Coach Dan, thank you again for joining me. This has been great. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.